Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of the worst leadership manual ever. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after national speaker, a best-selling author of several books, the fantastic Gary Gregory, who is also the Director of Operational Initiatives at Radco Residential. Welcome, Gary.
Dr. Paul, thank you so much. And I appreciate the introduction, including that I'm right in the middle of being the worst leadership person. So I received that. I appreciate it. And that's awesome. Thank you.
Well, listen, I'm holding in my hand a copy of your new book, The Worst Leadership Manual Ever, which I was very lucky to be some of the small group of folks that you sent advanced copies to. And it is not only eye opening, but it is hilarious. And we're going to, Gary, at the end of the show is going to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of this book. It's an easy read, but it's very poignant and it's very funny. And also on our website, on this episode page, we'll have a link to the location where you can buy a copy of this book. But Gary, tell me a little bit about what was the inspiration. I mean, you've written a lot of books, and but this one is different. This one is kind of a satirical look at typical leadership type manuals. Talk a little bit about what was the inspiration for this for you.
So you're right. I love books. I love writing books. And I think a lot of focus goes towards, and I'm guilty of it myself, when crafting a book, it's about what to do. You know, all of the great ideas, the smart ideas of what you should do. And it, you know, comes across very serious. And I agree, leadership is very serious. There's, you know, you're dealing with, you know, a company, you're dealing with business, and most importantly, you're dealing with people. So there's a need to be extremely serious and making sure that as a leader, you lead well. And I began to think when creating this book, or just the idea of this book, was what would be fun to kind of just do the and I can't even say the word anymore, but just the opposite of what a good leader should be. And I truly believe there's balance in knowing what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Because, you know, we're so focused on one thing, which is a good thing. And I also believe that you should focus on what you shouldn't do. And this really poured out when I was kind of drafting out this book. All of the crazy things that can happen, have happened, will probably continue to happen along the way with as leaders as they're finding themselves or experiencing these crazy, terrible, you know, horrible leaders in their career. And I was like, well, let's put all this together. I came up with four main sections that are like, okay, what would create the worst leader? And I came up with four sections that I thought would be the worst leaders. And so I truly believe when you're able to recognize what really bad leadership is, then you can do something about it. You can turn that weakness into strength. So maybe you're experiencing it because your leader's terrible, or maybe you yourself are not a great leader. And if you can recognize these things, then you can do something about it. And so I was like, well, there's all these books about doing the right thing. Well, let's write a book about doing the the wrong thing so that you can recognize those wrong things.
I mean, I love this. Like chapter one is titled The Art of the Intimidating Stare, Mastering the Nonverbal Cue that says, I don't trust you and I'm barely tolerating your presence. Look, as I said in the introduction, you have a long background in multifamily. Talk a little bit about how this applies to the multifamily industry, to folks who work there. And let's talk about, first of all, the foundations of awful leadership.
The foundations of awful leadership. And as you mentioned, chapter one, just right out of the gate, starts with the art of intimidating stare. And for me, that was body language. And, you know, a lot of us, and I've experienced leaders where they forget how they're acting when they're engaging with either a team member or with a customer. And you're looking at them going, do you not realize what you look like? And I'll be guilty of it myself. I have, you know, a scenario where, you know, I was engaging with a customer that was just mad about their application and, you know, something that, yes, we did something wrong and we didn't do it well. And I realized as I'm standing there kind of engaging with this upset resident that I had my arms crossed. I was staring at them. I was, you know, my eyes were kind of glaring and focused at them. And when that body language kind of bubbled up and, you know, with crossed arms and the staring, there's two things that happen from that. One is you're checked out. You're not listening. You're not a part of that conversation. You have dug your heels in the sand and you're not there to help and support that customer, that resident. And the second thing that happens is that customer sees how you're body languages or your intimidating stare, if you will, and then they build up their defenses. And so no matter what either party says, nothing's going to get accomplished. So for me, that the story came about where I was a new leader in the multifamily industry, and this resident was just so mad at me because we didn't take care of her application appropriately, and there were some dropped balls, miscommunication, and the resident came in and we're just mad. And I recognized as I was talking to the resident that, man, I was standing there with my arms crossed. I was, you know, kind of glaring at this resident because I was mad that she was mad at us. And when that clicked in my head, I started shifting my body language, which, again, the two things that kind of it created was I was more relaxed. I was open to receive the feedback, so that I could listen to understand where this resident was coming from and create an opportunity to fix the situation. And then when I kind of relaxed my stance, the resident ended up relaxing their stance, and we were able to talk through the situation and come up with a conclusion. So it's incredible what body language will do. But it's interesting that we don't recognize it in the moment because, you know, body language is very emotional. And when you get hit with, you know, a complaining resident or maybe a complaining team member, you can get emotional. And you really have to recognize that and understand that it, you know, you have to relax yourself. Otherwise, you're going to shut it down and nothing's going to come of that. So that chapter one, right out of the gate, body language just really creates a better opportunity to improve your leadership. And I also micromanaging as well. In this chapter, I also talk about the power of saying no to good ideas. And both of these things are very much a part of just terrible leadership if you're micromanaging or if you're just shouting down good ideas. This was something that I experienced, you know, the body language. I had to recognize that as I'm talking to residents that were upset with me. When you recognize how you're standing, how you're, you know, you're looking at that resident, then you really can create a better situation.
We've got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment, but I wanted to. One of the things in chapter two, it says, "Trust is for suckers. You, the leader, are the sole repository of knowledge and wisdom. Your team members are simply vessels waiting to be filled with your brilliant instructions." I mean, this is great stuff. Tell us a little bit about chapter two.
So, a lot of times, you know, when I was coming up, and I feel like this book is a very cathartic therapy session for me, because when I was growing up in my career, I thought as a leader, I had to know everything and everybody had to come to me for any information. And what that did is it created a bottleneck of everything, you know, coming to me, and it caused bad team morale because the team felt like I didn't trust them and I didn't feel like that they could handle the information, and they never got, you know, never learned anything new because everything was all through me. I didn't trust them, and you know, and I had to hover over them and make sure that they were doing exactly what I thought they needed to be doing. So yeah, you know, if you're not trusting your team with the knowledge, then you are not supporting them. You're not helping them grow to become better leaders along the way.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages with more on this fantastic book, The Worst Leadership Manual Ever by Gary Gregory. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Elevate your apartment game with Multi-Housing News and their exclusive newsletters. MHN is the leading integrated resource for people and companies that own, invest in, develop, manage, and/or market multifamily real estate. Join the thousands of real estate professionals who trust MHN in their daily, weekly, and bi-monthly newsletters to keep them informed and inspired with property management trends, news, podcasts, and more. Find out more information at multihousingnews.com/subscriptions.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Smart is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
And you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. Today, we're discussing the topic of the worst leadership manual ever. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after national speaker, and best-selling author of several books, the terrific Gary Gregory, who's also the Director of Operational Initiatives at Radco Residential. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Gary, in the first segment, we talked about part one of your book, and part two of your book is called Communication Catastrophes. Why don't you run through that with us?
Yeah, so one of the, you know, the for me, the top four parts about really destroying your leadership includes communication and just being terrible at it. And I broke down communication catastrophes is the second section of the book, and there's three parts in there. One is the art of ambiguous communication. We have public humiliation and passive aggressive emails, which, of course, we all love those passive aggressive emails. But so the first one, I'll just jump into the art of ambiguous communication, which is a lot about jargon and just being vague. And when you want to communicate, you want to be extremely specific about your communication. And so I was making fun of what does it mean to be a terrible communicator? And when you end up using a lot of jargon, and in the multifamily industry, by golly, we love our jargon. And so it's fun to even put it in resident communication. You know, we just throw in some jargon here and there about that. And there's also a lot of vagueness. And again, Paul, thank you. This feels like a therapy session because I'm really just kind of opening up all the terrible things I did as I was coming up in my career as a leader. And, you know, ambiguous communication was something that happened a lot of times because we just did not understand what we were trying to communicate. And that was a lot of the things that I used to do when I was communicating to residents or to my team members. I'll give you an example. So if there was noise complaints, you know, my thought process was, well, if there's noise complaints in one building, then I just need to tell all the residents that there's noise complaints. And so I would create these very generic, general messages and notes about noise and send them out to everybody. You know, things like, you know, excessive noise levels have been noted. Please be mindful of your fellow residents. And these types of communications are just extremely vague. There's no understanding of what it is, when it is, where it's at, and it creates some sort of defensiveness on everyone that receives this type of communication because it's so vague. Everyone that receives it assumes it's them, and so just out of the gate, when you have vague communication or ambiguous communication, then you're not creating understanding of the recipient of that communication. So there's two people involved in not understanding what's happening. And so one of the things that I realized later down the road after, you know, thank goodness I had wonderful leaders that helped me, you know, climb out of my terrible leadership, was they would encourage me to get real specific or get detailed. And if you don't understand, ask questions. And so it developed into addressing issues head on and being specific about what it is that I was trying to communicate and know what the expectations are. And, you know, I'm just using noise complaints as, you know, a community manager is going to, you know, experience noise complaints and needs to address it. But the more specific you can be about it, the better results that you'll get and the expectation from that communication. Also goes with your team. If you're finding the performance of some nature is not, you know, your team members is not living up to par, whether it's leasing or customer service or whatever the story may be, the more specific you can get with your communication, the better. And having conversations versus just sending out a passive-aggressive email, which creates confusion, is, you know, you want to be specific. You want to understand where this is coming from and why it's happening. And so this was a fun one because I tell you, I created some really bad communication catastrophes in my career. And, you know, the ambiguity and God, I can't talk this morning. Ambiguity, passive aggressive emails were just a staple of a inexperienced leader. And the result of it was my residents suffered and my team suffered because they never knew what I was trying to say. They never knew what the expectations were. And, you know, it was terrible. And one of the other things that is in this chapter or in this section is public humiliation. And, you know, you think you're trying to do the right thing as a leader, a property manager, maybe one of your lease consultants didn't provide great customer service and you call them out in front of everybody, thinking that everyone's going to learn from this lesson, if you will. But there's value in communicating well, praise in public and correct in private. And so, you know, those, again, were just some lessons I learned along the way to make sure that not everyone's going to learn a lesson that somebody messed up. And so you need to, like I said, you got to communicate in private when there's a correction and praise in public so that everybody hears that and celebrates that.
You know, we've got about 4 minutes left in this segment. One of the things again, to our audience, you have to get a copy of this book. It says at the top of the left-hand page, on every page, "I cannot believe you bought this book." It's just a very small and very small type. You know, it says that. But then you kind of pepper throughout the book at the beginning of the chapters, and I'm using air quotes. You can't see it because we're on the radio, but I'm using air quotes, these supposed industry or experts, leadership experts. And here's one of them for chapter four. Why waste your breath trying to communicate clearly? Misunderstandings are the spicy salsa of life, adding a little drama to every conversation. And it's the quote is attributed to Milton Mumbler, author of The Joy of Miscommunication, in parentheses, never published. I'm not sure when you were writing this book what you were going through, but this is hilarious. It's just, said it before.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Yeah. You know, everyone needs a little bit of spicy salsa in their life and drama. And, you know, I truly believe if you can't laugh at your own failures, if you can't laugh at your own mistakes, then you're taking it yourself too seriously. And you'll never learn from those mistakes. You'll never learn from those failures. And so, you know, this whole book, this whole manual, if you will, is all about learning to recognize, hey, we all mess up. We all make mistakes. And you got to laugh at them. And that helps you kind of drop your defenses and learn from these mistakes. And so, I just wanted to have a fun book where you can laugh at this and say, oh my gosh, I have done some boneheaded things, and I recognize myself in maybe a section or maybe a paragraph of this book. And because you're laughing, because you're laughing, you open yourself to lowering your defenses and embracing the recognition that, holy smoke, I have been creating some spicy salsa in my communication, and that's not working well. So what can I do to learn from this and grow and get better?
I mean, we've got about a minute left. one of the things that you're talking about is talk about the time is relative, firing off emails at 2 a.m.
Well, so we all love to think, we all love to show that we're working all the time. We're working so hard. And nothing proves that you are a hard worker than that email at 2 a.m., especially when you copy your boss and let them know that no matter what time of the day, you are engaged, you're working 2 a.m. But what happens is that just creates an impression that, one, maybe you're not great at time management, and two, maybe you're putting pressure on your team to think that they have to respond to these emails at 2 a.m. So that's not a great approach to communicate. So even though you think a 2 a.m. email is great because, like, oh, man, I'm working so hard, it's 2 a.m., I'm burning the midnight oil, what you're truly doing is you're creating an expectation or an air of, they're not managing their time well. They're overworked. Maybe they're creating those expectations that you got to respond to it at 2:30 a.m. So yeah, that's not great communication.
Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back with our next segment of this episode. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters. Thank you.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM. Rev, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of the worst leadership manual ever. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after national speaker, and a best-selling author of several books, the fabulous Gary Gregory, who is also the Director of Operational Initiatives at Radco Residentials. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. PayScore, learning the truth about applicant income. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. And ControlByNet, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. So, Gary, we talked in the first segment about the foundations of awful leadership. And then in the second segment, communication catastrophes, we're going to talk a little bit about what you title decision-making debacles. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, so it's fun to talk about this now because, you know, again, it's just the worst of us is when we start making terrible decisions. And for me, this is one of the top, you know, top four. This is number three of being a terrible leader. And what happens a lot of times is, you know, in the first section I talk about gut feelings, ditch the data. And now I can laugh at it because I love business intelligence tools and looking at data, asking questions, and then making decisions from that data. But I remember early as a community manager, I thought I knew or I thought I felt what needed to be done. And so I went with my gut on a lot of decisions, a lot of things that I thought was the right thing to do. And so I didn't look at the numbers. I didn't look at, you know, renewals. I didn't look at occupancy. I didn't look at lease percentages. It was just a matter of just, hey, I got a gut feeling about this. Let's just go with it. And so that created a lot of, you know, that was an irrational approach to leading your team, because your team just never knew, okay, where's Gary coming from? You know, how is he feeling today? And so depending on how he's feeling, what are we going to get? you know, or what task is he going to have us do? Because we never know what Gary's thinking, because we don't know what he's feeling today. So that was a fun one, just simple because now I love the business intelligence. I love looking at reports because there's just so much that you can pull from that data. But there's a point to knowing how to understand that data and look at the data and figure out what it is that, what questions you need to ask and what strategies you need to form from the data that you're reviewing. And so that was a big one, because that really created some really bad decisions. The second thing that was really bad is blaming other people. And as a leader, you're responsible for your team. Even when they make bad decisions, you're responsible for the decisions they've made. And so you'll find some leaders that will blame their team when they make bad decisions, and blame their team when they themselves make bad decisions. And so this whole piece is just understanding there's a responsibility to be an effective leader. And the bad leader, the worst leader, blames everybody else for their problems. You know, and it's a matter of, it's not my fault, or somebody else did it, or I never said that, just denying the things that you truly did do. And so what's interesting, like the great example is, you know, if your residents are late, you're just sitting there blaming residents all day long. You're sitting there gossiping about, you know, how bad the residents are, or, you know, they're not doing this or they're doing that. But a good leader will understand that, hey, we need to find solutions for the residents that have concerns or not able to pay on time, or, you know, causing this or that. And so that shifting blame, as a leader, you've got to take that. That's part of the responsibility. But I found myself on occasions growing up in my career was I like to blame people for things. And so, again, I'm laughing at myself as I'm writing these chapters that, man, that was me. That's what I did along the way. And then the third thing, this is one that I really, really am passionate about, is the celebrating mediocrity, where everybody gets a participation trophy kind of approach. Sometimes, you know, a leader is just like, a bad leader is going to say, oh my gosh, it's good enough. It's done. I don't want to mess with this anymore. And so they just let good enough be good enough. And I think that's not a great approach. In fact, that's an awful approach when you're celebrating mediocrity, or you're just saying, I don't want to deal with this, my team member that can't get these leases right. I'll just do it myself. You know, and there's that conversation again, is like, I don't have time to teach them to do it, so I'm just going to do it myself and just let them be mediocre, and I'll fix it on the back end, so I don't have to confront them about fixing something or getting better. And so what ends up creating is you've got a team that just thinks they're good enough is great, because you've never communicated with them that what they're doing is not great. And so that awful leader is just going to say, well, this is good. I'll fix it on my end, because I don't have time, or I don't want to confront them to fix it, to teach them, to show them that the status quo is not the right approach to doing what they're doing. So this is a fun one. You know, as a leader, you got to make really good decisions. So, you know, if you're not comfortable with the data, ask questions. If things are going wrong, the leader, you got to take responsibility for it. And if your team's not performing or you're not performing well, you got to push yourself. You got to ask for feedback. You got to give feedback. You can't let status quo be your approach to leading.
We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, but just for our listeners' benefit, again, you got to get this book. But it says, for the title for chapter 9, Celebrating Mediocrity, Why Strive for Excellence, when good enough is good enough. Learn to stifle innovation and reward mediocrity to keep your team uninspired and stagnant. And then one of the things that are about stifling innovation, stifle innovation, your new superpower. New ideas are disruptive. They can challenge the status quo and, heaven forbid, force you to actually think. I mean, again, to come up with this stuff, Gary, it's amazing because it just flies in the face of anything that anybody ever thinks of. But it's so true. It's really so true.
Oh, and again, it's a matter of I wanted to create a fun book where people can laugh at it. Maybe the whole book, they've never done any of those things except one section. Maybe that's the section where they've stifled their team members. And as they're going through the book, they're laughing. And then all of a sudden they get to this one section and they read it and they're like, oh, that sounds like me. And because they're laughing, their guard is down, their defenses are down. They're like, oh man, I have not allowed my team to share great ideas or I was always skeptical of them growing because if they grow, then they might get promoted. And if they get promoted, that means they're going to leave. And if they leave, that means I've got to find a replacement, which means I've got to start this whole cycle over again of teaching somebody else. And so, yeah, it's, the new superpower of just stifling your team or keeping them in their seats so you don't have to do extra work of bringing in somebody new or teaching the current team is indeed a superpower, because hopefully you end up hiring people that want to grow, that want to get promoted, that want to, advance in their career. But if you're able to stifle people, keep them in their seats where they never grow, man, that's a terrible new superpower. In fact, I'd probably call you a villain if you had that kind of superpower. So, sometimes you got to take risks. Sometimes you got to push your team. And I've always said the best leaders are the ones that are leadership factories that grow leaders. And the worst ones are the ones that just keep them in their seats.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Rev, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. Happy Co. Multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of the worst leadership manual ever. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after national speaker, and best-selling author of several books, the awesome Gary Gregory, who's also the Director of Operational Initiatives at Radco Residential. I do want to take a moment and thank the rest of our sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Gary, in the first segment, we discussed the different parts of your book. The first one was Foundations of Awful Leadership. In the second segment, we talked about communication catastrophes. And in the last segment, we talked about decision-making debacles. So in this segment, we're going to close it out with talking about the team destroyer approach. What is that all about?
You know, Paul, I just have to say, first of all, thank you. I'm so glad that you get this book. It was a little bit of a, like, oh, man, I hope people understand the intent and the humor with this book. And I just, I'm laughing on the inside, Paul, that you really, you're embracing this and you get kind of the intent of where this book is coming from. So thank you again, sir.
Yes. I've said it several times throughout the show. This book is hilarious, and I certainly would encourage everybody in multifamily to get this book. You can learn a lot. You can read between the lines, and it's a great book. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Gary.
Cool. No, thank you so much. So the team destroyer approach, this is wrapping up really what it is to really be a awful leader. And I started off with the divide and conquer. And so this one essentially is just creating scenarios in which you're dividing your team and you're creating chaos, if you will. And, you know, one of the things that can happen is, you know, these challenges that a lot of us love to, in some occasions, push our team and challenge them to accomplish these tasks that we do. Like, hey, let's as a property manager, community manager, you'll say, let's boost our occupancy 5 percentage points in the next week. And so if you do these, you know, competitive challenges, if you create these artificial competitions or setting unrealistic deadlines, then you're setting up your team for failure. And there's also, you know, pieces of miscommunication or creating chaos, or I'm sorry, creating gossip between your team members. And that is a huge thing. You start gossiping about each team member between each team member, then you create this massive chaos, and you start dividing your team, because if a leader talks about one team member to another team member, then inevitably they're going to hear about it, and that's just creating just terrible chaos, and that will without a doubt destroy your team. Another thing that will work on destroying your team is its favoritism. Now, this may sound kind of like, well, I've got a team member that I really, really like. But what ends up happening is if you identify your chosen one, then everybody knows. Everyone can feel when a leader has a chosen one. And that creates some toxicity within the team. That creates some envy, if you will, that, oh, man, this team ever gets away with everything because the boss likes them the best. And so that really does create toxicity in your team. What it also creates is this, if as a leader you have a quote-unquote favorite on your team, what ends up happening is you're like, well, because this one's my favorite and I trust them, quote-unquote, I'm going to give them all the work. I'm going to have them do all the things because they're my favorite. I quote unquote trust them. And so I'm going to make them do all the things. And what you unintended consequences of that, your quote unquote favorite person gets buried under all the work, and everyone else is looking like, well, hey, what about me? How can I contribute? And they're like, we're part of this team. How come we don't get to do some of these things that the leader is having this one favorite team member do? So that is that's a big one. And the other thing, the third thing that I have in this chapter is the invisible leader. And I'll have to tell myself is, you know, I thought being busy was a sign of a good leader. And so because I was busy, I was never available. And I would close my door, I would do my work, you know, thought I was creating all of these great reports and all these things, but a great leader's got to be available. And an awful leader's going to keep their door closed. They're going to just disappear when other people need you because you're too busy for them. And that is a terrible, terrible approach, because availability and support is a positive trait any leader should have. But an awful leader is going to be that invisible leader. And it also includes, you know, communication and encouragement. And so if you're not communicating encouragement, then by default, you're that invisible leader. You're just assuming, well, they know they're doing a good job. And so you never say anything. But that one team member that is just working hard, they're, you know, doing all the things they need to do, and if they never hear any encouragement or appreciation, if you will, then they're going to assume by absence or by omission that maybe they're doing a bad job. And so a awful leader will be that invisible leader. So, again, laugh at myself as I'm writing this, because I see myself, I did these things, closing my door, not being available, assuming my team knew they were doing a great job because I never said anything. And so, yeah, that is definitely those three things: divide and conquer, just all that chaos, having a favorite team member creates toxicity, and then the invisible leader not being available and not supporting your team can truly, truly destroy a team without a doubt.
We've got about 2 minutes left before I want to transition to something else real quick, but tell our listeners a little bit about the rest of the book, because you got a bonus section. You've got the worst leadership manual ever checklist for awful leadership. and then you've got the Worst Leadership Institute. Talk a little bit about those real quick.
Yeah, so a couple of things. Understandably, there's a ton of bad things in this book of being an awful leader, but I wanted to wrap it up with a bonus part of saying, okay, what if you are experiencing a terrible leader? What are some things that you can do to survive a worst leader ever? And so I put on there, you know, there's four things that you can do, and I kind of expound on it in the book. One is set boundaries, maintain a positive attitude, find support, and then document and escape, but don't burn bridges. So those are, you know, pretty solid four things that you can do to survive a terrible leader. Because I've been really, really blessed in my career that I've had great leaders, but I've heard stories, I've seen stories about some really terrible leaders. So I know it's important to be able to survive those leaders. The checklist, hey, this is just a really raw approach to saying, am I doing any of these things? You can just go through the checklist. And then finally, you know, I had to have fun. I created the Worst Leadership Institute, and there's a website that you can go to. You can apply to be a student of the Worst Leadership Institute. It's a real thing. And then you can also apply to be part of the faculty, and that is a real thing as well on this website. But again, it's all tongue-in-cheek. It's all about learning from not being serious, but having fun and recognizing, hey, none of us are perfect. We've all made these mistakes. But if we can recognize these terrible things, these mistakes that we made, we can learn from these things. If our defenses are down, we don't have the spirit of offense, we can learn and enjoy these things. And then also, if you go to the website, Worst Leadership Institute, you can share stories of terrible leadership experiences that you've had on the website itself. And who knows, maybe your story will make the next manual that we put together. So that is that's also available.
That's great. Well, again, the book is great. In a second, you're going to tell our listeners how they can get a copy. It'll also be on the multifamily radio .com website episode page. But tell us a little bit about, well, first, you're going to tell us how people get in touch with you, but tell us a little bit about some of the other books you've written and what you're working on now.
Oh, yeah. So you can always reach out to me at my website. It's thegarrettgregory.com. I've got several books available on Amazon. You get all of these books on Amazon. I truly believe that as you develop yourself first, then you can help develop other people along the way. So I have several books that are all about developing yourself: The Super Fantastic Me, The Super Fantastic Who, and The Super Fantastic Potential. That's just kind of my theme, if you will. And then, of course, The Worst Leadership Manual Ever is available on Amazon. I do have a book coming up later this summer where I take a more traditional, fun approach to leadership. So I've got a new one coming out later this summer that is The Super Fantastic, or I'm sorry, Super Fantastic Leadership. So this one's being put together, and it'll come out later this year.
Now, you also have a podcast that you do. Tell us a little bit about that, and how can people find that?
Yeah. So I love connecting with leaders. Super Fantastic Exchange is my video podcast where I connect with leaders, multifamily leaders, in and out of the industry, because I think there's always things to learn from any and every leader. And I ask one question: what inspires you? And you would be amazed at the feedback that I have received over the couple of years that I've done this video podcast of what inspires leaders. And it has just been so many incredible gold nuggets of wisdom and information that I have been able to connect and absorb and learn from all these amazing leaders through this video podcast. So you can check it out on YouTube, Super Fantastic Exchange. And there's just incredible leaders that I have had the opportunity to connect with and learn from, and just so many great nuggets of wisdom in all of these conversations.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Gary, for being on. Again, the book, The Worst Leadership Manual Ever, you need to get it and laugh. You'll be laughing a lot, I can assure you of that. So thanks for being on today. But we are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.